This is Iconic.
Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and what we're doing now is this episode is part of a three-part episode we did for our patrons, a live episode on Giants. And so if you want, if you're a member of the patronage, you can go check this out on YouTube, where you can watch the video of Mark and Nick and I talking about Giants.
All right, well, let's switch this a little bit more from the player or the mechanical side to the GM side of things. So first of all, before we get into like traditional 13th Age icons, if you were going to use Giants as kind of the focus of a campaign, how would you craft a Giant icon to use in the game? Maybe a lost icon or a new icon because you're trying to focus it in on the Giants. What would you guys do? I realize I'm springing this question on you, so.
No, that's part of the live episode and just kind of the feeling stuff out. So the first thought that came to my mind is that the Giants have been lying dormant for ages. And in the 12th age, what ended the 12th age was that the Giants have reawakened. Mm. They've woken back up. And so while the more intelligent creatures are not just the dumb brutes that have just kind of been kind of puddling around throughout the ages, but now the true Giants have re-arisen, have reawoken, and they're coming to reclaim their land. And all these little critters that have sprung up around them, you know, they're just going to be in their way. So I would probably have more close ties in with the dwarves and have the dwarf king as the icon, maybe pledge his allegiance to one of the newly awakened fire giants and have that fire giant be maybe a replacement to the dwarf king icon. Maybe a couple of other things like that where these are now new icons in the world, and the story arc for 13th Age is figuring out what are we going to do with these. Mm. You know, are we going to allow them to stay in control because you know they're just going to keep expanding their power, or is it time to put them back to sleep for the next however many ages?
Mm. I like that
was the first thing that came in mind as we were talking, though.
Yeah, I like that a lot. What about you, Mark? What are your thoughts on if you were to create an icon for a 13th Age game with Giants, what would you create?
I think I would have a lost icon and maybe call it like the First Emperor and make it this Storm Giant that was the Emperor of a previous age or, you know, like Age Zero. Tie it in with the Dwarves, where the Dwarves were the servants, to where maybe the Dwarf King doesn't want him to come back because that's where they got their knowledge and power. And as the Giants fell, the Dwarves kind of came into their own. So he probably wouldn't like that. Probably ally the Orc Lord just because he's monstrous like me. Or maybe as he comes back, if he gets discovered somehow, maybe you work that, you know, Engine of Ages thing where you have the... in the past, there were Giants were had their own empire and fell. Something like that. And he might be coming back. Maybe the Lich King tries to pull back, you know, enemy of my enemy. I'll bring this guy back and fight the Emperor and weaken him kind of thing. And we'll split the Empire.
Nice.
Oh, I just had another idea. What if the Prince of Shadows was exposed and was a giant?
Ooh. I do like that idea. What? Well, I mean, that sort of ties into kind of my next question. First of all, Mark, did you ever play Arcanus? It's a weird out there question. Did you ever play like Arcanus? It was for 3.5, and then it became its own game system during kind of the fourth edition years, and then it's come back to a D&D system. On Giants was, because there were no more Giants in the world, the Giants were created to be the stewards of men and creation. And when they failed, the gods cursed them and they became dwarves. And so each dwarf is trying to create the one perfect expression of beauty that they can craft in hope that that will like redeem them in the eyes of their god and allow them to return to being a giant before they die. Interesting little take on sort of that relationship.
because then all of a sudden every single kind of like short joke you make against the dwarf actually just driving it home, you are not what you originally were.
Yeah. There's also, without spoiling, because I know that Mark, so Mark and I, if you guys have followed the Iconic Production channel at all, you know that we enjoy The Dark Eye. And the theater night sort of revolves around an idea like that, about a race that has fallen and bound and is now shorter and more stunted and more, and what happens if that were to be undone. I'm very interested to see how that finishes up. All right, so we've talked about how most giant threats are basically champion tier enough. But there is also something about the idea that there are so many of them, and they sort of tier up nicely and kind of throwing back, like we talked about with Storm King's Thunder or against the Giants, there is this idea of a longer-term campaign that would focus strictly on the Giants. As GMs, like, you would have to get players to champion or epic tier. How would you foreshadow or use the Giants maybe in the background of an adventurer tier campaign, but clearly foreshadow, hey, this is coming?
Well, if Giants are kind of taking a back burner role at the earlier tiers, or maybe it the campaign at large, it probably would hinge on how I'm wanting to use the Giants in the later tiers. So if I'm wanting to use them as more of those intelligent threats, then I would want to start sprinkling hints that, you know, there are these great intelligent creatures that are maybe are leaving behind their workings. Maybe these super magical artifacts, or these large, you know, pieces of armor or weapons or something like that. You know, even magically could scale to fit the person who's wielding it. So give them to them as magical artifacts. But then maybe have those stir in some ways when they're in certain parts of the land, or when they go up against maybe these kind of half-giant types. You know, if you go up against an ogre, all of a sudden your magical weapon is not working quite the way you were expecting it to, or it's growing a little bit in size, or something along those lines.
So maybe instead of playing off like the old F20 trope of like a plus one weapon that's plus three versus lycanthropes, you have a champion tier sword. It's only an adventurer tier weapon wielded against those who forged it. So if you're fighting giants, sorry, you have it's a plus one weapon now instead of a plus two.
Right. And you could even describe it in that way as a hook, right? It's going to drop down a tier when you go up against the creatures that forged this. And don't even initially tell them what creatures forged it. And that could be part of that discovery piece of it, either through they're going to go and research out who created these magic items, or through trial and error, they go into combat and it's not as sharp as they were expecting it to be.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that came to mind, if you're taking giants to the truly gigantic scale, then maybe have them enter some sort of cave, you know, kind of how we did in the patron game, where you go into a cave thinking it's just a cave, and then somewhere along the line you realize, no, this isn't the cave, this is the remains of a giant, and then find something in there that's meaningful to the giant races or something along those lines. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Mark?
Well, there's always I call it the tried and true trope, because I've seen it more than once, where things start to happen on the edges, you know, the borderlands, where there's more monstrous incursions. And, you know, it's just normal. Okay, we're hiring adventurers, or the Crusader sends you out there to stop something. And you find out that these are... the activity is because they're suddenly took an interest in this area. It's they're fleeing from something.
Mm-hmm.
And as you keep peeling back the onion, you find out that the giants have had it and they're expanding, and they've come out and they're driving everything in front of them out.
That's sort of my idea. Like the fact of what seems to be an invasion of like orcs and goblins and, you know, kind of the more adventurer tier threats. is because behind them they're being displaced. I mean, it's essentially every migration out of the East into kind of like the West. So whether it's the Sumerians or the Scythians or the Huns or the Mongols, it's this idea that there's something here and it's displacing people who then displace people who then displace people.
Exactly.
I also had an idea of the starting town has this massive what seems to be just kind of like a stone pillar in the center of the town. And like we named the town after it, and there's all sorts of like magical rituals that kind of go on about it. We never actually got to this. This is Brenton. Remember the big thing that nobody really knew what it was in the center of town? It's a fire giant sword that was plunged into the ground for so long, and now the king is coming back to reclaim it, and that's part of his. So you have this big iconic thing in the background of the adventurer tier, and it turns out to be the reason the giants are coming here is because the king, in order to unite the giants, the wannabe king has to, pull the sword from the center of town. And so you have this thing that's large and kind of in the background at adventurer tier that becomes kind of the major focus of the champion tier. I think that would be a lot of fun to, like a fun way to foreshadow, hey, something's not right. And, there's something larger coming this way.
Yeah, you can.
What you were describing and just having it be there in the background, kind of the entire time. For me, maybe even from session one, it's just looming.
Yeah.
And get to the point and make sure you keep dropping hints about it, references to it here or there.
The group, and the town thought it was it was like a magical wizard's tower and there were portals, but they couldn't figure out how to get into it. No, it was a giant sword that had been stuck there for so many ages. And it looked like a stone plinth.
I can see that having a real big payoff where when finally that light bulb clicks on in their minds of, oh, this is what it is. Oh, that's what this is. That would have that would be a really good payoff for the players and the GM alike.
There were rumors of like a lost magical sword throughout the whole area. And so I was waiting for the moment when the big giant fight happens and the group is fighting. And then there's the one guy who's just ignoring all of the PCs and he makes it to the tower and draws this weapon and then resets the fight back to start because now the giants, like, they get a boost because their king's sword has been found. And
you could also, if you don't want to make it that plinth that was a sword, the ancient temple with the domed roof could be a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
That was built around it. And it's just, that's this giant ancient temple. And we don't know who built it. Yeah, well, it's just a giant. Yeah, put his helmet down and stuck his sword in the ground and wandered away until they come to claim it. I'm never going back to Brenton now.
It's got me thinking about Malazan, where that jade hand, the fingers are sticking out of the ground, and the scale is just so huge. And it may be something like that, where the giants are dormant, and the earth has covered them, and there's just a piece of them that are sticking out of the ground, and getting a piece of landscape until that finger starts moving, and all the cities are in the area, earthquakes, and starts being destabilized and everything.
Yeah, I also think of what you just brought up is an important thing, I think, when dealing with giants. It's perspective. It's sort of understanding that on the ground, you don't see what they see. Like for me, one of the best examples is in the Silver Chair, right? They're in this, what they think is this weird road maze. And when they get back, it's a giant has carved under me in the ground. And so when they were finally able to take a step back and see it from the giant's perspective, it wasn't alleys. It was like this massive carving into the ground, or with the helmet or with the sword or with the giants in Malazan. Another example of giants in gaming that I think sometimes gets overlooked in the F20 realm is giants in like the Warhammer universe. They are a bit more brutish. They do kind of fit more into the walking artillery. But there's just something spectacular about looking at like the scale between the minis, where you have like, right, the Beastmen and then the giants that stand up like this. For Jackals, I have a giant by Atlantis Miniatures. If I remember, we'll put the link in the bottom in the comments, because it is a if you need a giant mini, and I mean that in all possible terms, go check out Atlantis Miniature Stores. I adore their miniatures. Mm-hmm. Well, we have talked about giants for about an hour, which is awesome. Do you guys have any final thoughts or comments on this topic?
And if you don't want a whole campaign about giants, if you just want to throw an encounter of the appropriate level, have the party run into this, and this is a podcast, I'm showing up air quotes, this ogre who's maybe a giant baby, and then the parents come looking for it. And how you handled the ogre depends on whether or not your village gets wiped off the map.
So as we were talking today, another idea for a potential campaign arc is starting to formulate. The idea of the giants being tied to the elements and being the caretakers for the world and have fallen asleep, or you know, they've gone astray in some way. But then maybe having the High Druid come and interact with the PCs and say, you know, something's going wrong with the elements. Nature is all out of whack. And realizing that the giants are being hunted to extinction because their skin makes a magically resistant armor or something to that effect. And so trying to unravel who is hunting the giants, how are they being so effective against them, why are the giants not retaliating, and how to restore the balance to the elements.
Yeah,
or to nature. There's a lot of different ways you can run with this.
Oh yeah, and there's this great. There's another arc in Glorantha. Giant Cradle is. There's this river that flows through Pavis, and the giants send their cradles with their babies laden with treasure down the river to Magasta's pool, and the Lunars built this bridge, I think it's the Lunars, to basically capture these cradles and kill the baby and take all of its stuff. And so the giants are slowly dying out because this is part of their life cycle in a way that nobody really understands. And they do a great job in the Prince of Sartar webcomic. One of the arcs is Argrath defending one of the giant cradles from lunar attacks to make sure that it gets past this area and can travel down to the sea. So, well, cool.
Lunars.
Just giving one more plug. If you're looking for an adventure to try using using giants and their involvement in your game, High Magic Low Cunning does have an adventure arc that's focused on how different icons are leveraging giants' involvements mm-hmm. in the Iconic of Bears. So that'd be a good one. If you're just wanting to maybe dabble with giants, check that one out and put that in your game.
Yeah, that's a good one to reference as well. Well, thank you to all of the patrons of Iconic Production. We greatly appreciate it. It's why we get to do shows like this and keep doing the Iconic podcast. If you're listening to this, this has been broken up into... my guess is about 3 episodes to listen through. So if you enjoy these and you become a patron of the show, we're going to put out new topics for our next live show. We're probably trying to do them twice a year. If they become more popular, if you want to hear, you know, tune in and see more of the live shows, let us know. If you don't, you know, let us know as well. We're trying something new and we're seeing how it works. So again, thank you to all of our patrons. Thank you to our producer, JD, who set this all up for us. It's fun to do a longer form show where we get to chat and interact with people. And also check out all of the other great shows on Iconic Production right now. Becca has finished up her 13th Age game on Monday, and now on Monday nights is running Horror on the Orient Express for Call of Cthulhu. And Josh is continuing his Gebrokan game. So, yeah, you know what? Until next time, you know, stay safe and stay healthy and good gaming.
And that wraps up our discussion on Giants. If you like this, if you want to be part of the live shows when they go live, please consider subscribing to us on Patreon. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more iconic podcast discussing 13th Age. Until then, good gaming. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast.
Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And be sure to check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.